Year 2022 has begun. May the grace of God fill up your homes and workplaces during the new year. At the beginning of every new year, I earnestly pray that the new year will be a truly new year for our church members, and the prayer is even more heartfelt this year. Wherever we are, may each one of us serve as the channel of the grace of God and the history of God. And in the process, I hope that we mature as the people of the Lord. For such hope to become a reality, there's one thing we need to look towards clearly. If our eyes are not focused, then even if we flip the calendar, it'll be just changing numbers rather than greeting a new year. Psalm 121 has the subtitle, A Song of Ascents. 15 poems of Psalm 120 to 134 are all titled Songs of Ascents. God commanded Israelites to celebrate three festivals each year: the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Passover, second, the Feast of Weeks, also known as the Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot. For those not living near Jerusalem, living near Galilee, north of Israel, and those living far from Israel, going up to the temple for worship was a big deal. At major festivals, entire families would sing these songs as they went up to the temple for worship. So these 15 poems of Psalms are also called the Temple Pilgrim Psalms. These 15 Psalms are not that long. Among the 15, only Psalm 132 has 18 verses, and the rest are less than 10 verses long. Psalm 131 and Psalm 133 are only 3 verses long. While we don't see it as often anymore, during Christmas season in the past, youth at church or choir members would sing carols at the church members' houses from midnight to sunrise on the Christmas day. When they sung the carols, it was pitch dark, so they could not sing while reading the score. They sang a few hymns, and at times, they would repeat the first verse. Songs of Ascent in Psalms are similar to these songs. These psalms are titled Songs of Ascent because not only is Jerusalem a city located at high altitude, 800 meters, but it is also the capital of Israel. The capital of South Korea is Seoul, so when one travels to Seoul from other parts of the country, they say, "We are going up to Seoul." Regardless of how high a city is located, when they're departing from there to Seoul, they say that they're going up to Seoul. Similarly, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and also where the temple is. Thus, Jerusalem was the city that was the highest, not just for administration, but also by sentiment and spirituality. That is why these poems are songs of ascents. Psalm 121 is consisted of 8 verses. Verse 1 and 2 is expressed using the pronoun I, and verses 3 to 8 use the pronoun you. So the psalm is referred to as a conversation between children and parents on pilgrimage, or a song sung between pilgrims and priests. While verse 1 and 2 express action and thoughts on the way to the temple, verses 3 to 8 explain the reason and explanation behind it. Let's look at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? In ancient times, many pagan idols were worshipped in the Middle East, and people thought most of them live in the mountains. King Aram even said, "Their gods are gods of the hills." So followers of many religions performed sacrificial rites either along the hills or at the shrine built on the hills. At the shrine, there were female and male priests holding sacrificial rites for abundance and fertility, and selling medicine or charms, claiming to prevent disasters. Pilgrims that know of this were singing as they went up to the Jerusalem temple. I lift my eyes towards many shrines along the hills. Which God can help me? Can the God of all look after my life? Or will the Queen of Sheba bring abundance to my life? Or will the priests of the sun god provide help for my life journey? Or will the teachings of female followers of the moon god give meaning to my life? Consequently, when we lift up our eyes towards the hills, it does not refer to just lifting up our heads, but to look at the temple with our eyes and towards God, who guides us and works in our lives. That is why verse 2 testifies as following: My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. If we translate the Hebrew Bible as it is written, verse 1 is asked the following: I lift up my eyes towards the mountains. Where does it come from, my help? If we look at verse 2 of the Hebrew Bible as it is written, my help comes from God, the one who made heavens and earth. The last word of verse 1 and the first word of verse 2 is my help. So verse 1 and 2 emphasize help. This word embodies assistance or aid, and it was often used to refer to army and resources sent to allies during a time of war. So the poet is saying that he is going through a spiritual battle, and the help to endure this war comes from God. The poet is confessing that this God is Yahweh that made heaven and earth, so he can help at all times, and he works so that he can endure, we can endure any difficulty. Moreover, the poet knows that he is included in the heaven and earth that Yahweh made it. So he knows that God is the one that can help him. In addition, the word help comes from the same word used in the word helper. God says that it is not good for man to live alone, so he made a helper suitable for him. Then he created a woman and led her to Adam. The helper is not a synonym of an assistant, or a facilitator. Thus, Adam is a being that needs help from Eve, and Eve is also a being that needs help from Adam. When a husband and a wife are helpers to each other, then their partners can be more empowered and go through spiritual battles on this earth. Of course, God also helps husbands and wives and all of us. Verses 3 to 8 is a response to what happens when you lift up your eyes towards the mountain. The content affirms what happens when God protects us, and it explains so in three main points. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. These verses is the first declaration about the protection from God. God does not let his people slip, and he protects them. He watches over without sleeping. To slip literally means to take a wrong step and fall over. If young people stumble, then it is easy for them to stand up again. And when they are physically fit, even if they fall, they only sustain small scratches, maybe a sprained ankle. But as you age, the degree of the injury changes. If an elderly falls and breaks the hip joint, then it can cause a fatal outcome. Even worse is to fall from a high point to a low point on a mountain hike. That can lead to a critical injury. Pilgrims are going up and thinking about their life journey. When you're shaking on the ground, then you can get help from those around you. However, when you falter or fall in life, then you cannot get help from people most of the time, especially along the slippery slope of life. At such times, the protection from God is the critical help from God. So, Psalm chapter 37, verses 23 and 24 also sings, "The Lord makes firm the steps of the one who delights in him. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." Our lives did not fall or break apart, and we could reach where we are, not by our ability, goodness, or willpower, but by the right hand of God who held on to us. The poet says God does not slumber nor sleep so that we do not fall. This has two implications. First, God is different from people. At the time, public safety was not so good. People on pilgrimage took turns staying up at night to protect the group from thieves or wild beasts, and even hired professional guards. Whether it be guards taking turns or professional guards, people reach the limit and they're prone to doze or fall asleep. However, God who protects Israel does not sleep or slumber. This fact is very important. People think that money will protect their lives and use money to hire guards and use authority to keep a night watch. They also overestimate their health and ability and regard themselves as the guards and night watch. Many people fell because of this. Later on, a number of people have surrendered to God and praised, "Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know," as in Hymn 280. So it is a great hope for us to know that God protects us like so. The second meaning behind God, who does not slumber nor sleep, is that our God is different from other gods. At the time, people in the Middle East thought that gods are asleep, so when they're facing a crisis or need help, they need to wake up those gods through sacrificial rites. So the rites to awaken gods were loud and required much effort. The more people thought their situation is critical, they harmed themselves even more to depict the gravity. And sometimes they even sacrificed their children to indicate they are providing the best they have, though they should not have done so. A specific example of this is also in the Bible. In 1 Kings 18, Prophet Elijah and 450 prophets of Baal go against one another in the Mount of Carmel. Prophets of Baal, large in number, decided to call their gods first. Prophets of Baal sacrificed bulls and called on the name of Baal from morning to afternoon, dancing around the altar. But there was no response. Prophet Elijah said, "Call upon the name with even greater sound. You never know whether Baal is catering to another deed at the restroom or far away on a ship. If none of this applies and he is sleeping, then you need to wake him up, right?" Prophets of Baal, following religious customs, even harmed themselves by stabbing their body with knives and spears. However, even in the evening, there was no response. Finally, when it was Prophet Elijah's turn, we know how God answered. He answered with fire. We cannot express fully how much hope and strength we gain from God, who does not sleep nor slumber. Verse 5 and 6 says, "The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night." This is the second declaration about the protection from God. God becomes the shade for his people and protects them from the harm of the sun and the moon. The average temperature of the summer in Israel is much higher than ours. And at the time, it was the dry season with almost no rain, so the heat from the sun was scorching hot. In such a place, shade is precious. God says that he will be the shade for his people from the right side, which signifies power. Thus, God promises us to protect us with his power, even when harm is in our lives, like the scorching heat from the sun. God promises to protect us from the sun of the day and moon of the night. The daily temperature varies to a great extent in Israel, so when God says he will protect us from the sun of day and moon of night, signifies protection from the heat of the day and coldness of evening. Moreover, some interpret the sun of day as physical harm and moon of night as mental threat. At the time, people thought the moon of night harms our heads, so they wrapped a bandana around it. Even now, there are English words that are related to the moon to refer to issues of mental disorder. Lunatic, which literally means of the moon, refers to a person who is not of the right mind. Moonstruck is an adjective that describes a state of out of one's mind because he has fallen in love. So the shade and how the sun will not harm by day, nor the moon by night, indicate that God will protect us in all circumstances. The third declaration about the protection from God is as the following, verses 7 and 8. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. God promises to protect us from all harm and watch over our coming and going forever. In our Bible, it says God exempts us from all harm, but its original meaning is to protect us from all harm. How great would it be to not face any harm? However, there is not a single life that does not experience any harm. If there's a life exempt from harm, then it'll be a punishment that we cannot bear. God protects us from any harm or pain. So David, after experiencing God, confessed, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." It is not that David did not face any difficulty. Rather, as we know, he went through tough relationship problems with his parents as a son, with his brothers, with his master as a servant, with his wife, and with his children as a father. Despite it all, he confessed that the Lord, his shepherd, protected him, the sheep. Moreover, protecting our coming and going has numerous meanings. First, it means that he protects our lives as we go to work in the morning and return home at night. There are a number of people who go to work in the morning and are unable to return home at night. It also means that he will protect them from the start to the end of the pilgrimage. On the way, there's a threat of robbery and tough roads and idol worship. You're able to walk the path of faith, but through the results of God's protection. Moreover, it also means that God will protect us as we are born, the beginning of our lives, until the end, as we enter the eternal kingdom. So we're able to be where we are now through the protection of God. We just entered the time of year 2022. There will be ups and downs in the year 2022. As we lift up our eyes and focus on eternal God in our path of life and take God as our purpose of life, then the year 22, 12 months and 365 days of the year will be a new year. But if we fix our eyes on secular values and regard them as the purpose of life, 2022 will be a continuation of the last year. COVID-19 has affected the entire world in the past 2 years. Not only did it affect the politics and economics of the world, but many parts, other parts of society as well. It was also true for the church. So many meetings, including worship and Bible study groups, are being held online and offline. Virtual meetings have become the new normal in our society, and with frequent online communication, metaverse has come closer in our lives. First, we thought it was relevant for games and the entertainment industry, but it will come to influence many parts of our lives. Metaverse is a combination of meta, which refers to transcendence and virtual, and universe, which is the space or the world. And it is used to refer to augmented virtual world, comprised of physical reality and virtual reality. This word was first used in the novel Snow Crash, published 30 years ago in 1992. Zepero, which is a virtual platform introduced by one of the major platform companies of South Korea, had 240 million users in October 2021. The world depicted in movies such as Avatar or Matrix is metaverse. Moreover, when one uses Facebook, KakaoTalk, or YouTube, you're also participating in the metaverse through such social media services. In the past, television was the main channel to introduce a new product or service, whether it be clothing, bags, cars, or entertainment. Gradually, the channel changed to the internet, YouTube, and now to metaverse platform. Moreover, music fans could not go to concerts anymore due to COVID-19, and singers started to hold concerts in metaverse. So BTS showed their dance for the song Dynamite through a metaverse called Fortnite, a game. Also, Travis Scott, an American singer, held a concert in the same metaverse where 12.3 million people logged in simultaneously to watch. This number is incomparable to those who come to the on-site concert, and it resulted in a tenfold profit. This year and years following, metaverse and related industries will grow in size, so many firms and people will enter the metaverse industry. Then it will enter our lives to a greater extent. It is said that there are four areas of metaverse. One is augmented reality, which shows physical reality and virtual objects, such as Pokemon Go. And the second is live blogging, using social networking service such as Facebook or YouTube. Third is the mirror world, where we gain real-time data about various parts of the world using satellite images, as in Google Earth. Last is the virtual world, where the user uses avatar to depict a world similar to reality or a totally different world. People are political beings, so as time passes, people will be absorbed in the metaverse. Since I can know what someone is doing now and what he liked a little earlier without meeting him. It also helps me to confirm it with my eyes. I can go to a concert of my favorite singer or the recital of my favorite performer, and I can check the product I'm interested in without visiting the store from where I'm settled, and I can build new relationships with new people. Since I can check all of this with my eyes, it becomes more interesting. Then if metaverse improves by fivefold or 50-fold, then would our lives also improve by 5 times or 50 times? As one falls deeper into the metaverse, and as their lives in the metaverse becomes magnified, then would their inner character become deeper and wider? No. It is likely that the exact opposite is realized. Even now, writing photos and videos on Facebook and Instagram are prone to be a beautified version of themselves rather than showing a real depiction. The Bible clearly says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." Instead of paying attention to what is seen, it is important to lift our eyes to God, who is unseen. Moreover, 2022 started with many national dilemmas that needs to be resolved more than any time before. There are many problems of politics, economics, society, culture, education, national security, and foreign affairs, which are interlinked. Irresponsible politicians are aggravating conflicts across classes and ideologies, and the way out is nowhere to be seen. In March, we will have the presidential election and also the local election in June. Politicians are using political patronage, empty political agenda that are impractical, mutually infective, and taking sides. As we expect to see more of this in time, my heart is burdened. No part of our society gives us hope for the new year, 2022. Nevertheless, we will welcome year 2022 in hope, because we believe that this year will be a new year by lifting up our eyes toward God, who does not let us slip nor sleep or slumber, to protect us. So this year, our church has decided to keep lift up our eyes as the first of the year. Through the faith in God, who is above all the things we can see and situations, this year will be a truly new year, because God guards and renews individuals, families, churches, and countries. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for believing in us and granting us to start another year with you. We lift up our eyes and look at where our help comes from. Our help does not come from fancy secular values, and rather it comes from God, who made heaven and earth and us. May we not forget this during this year, and also during the rest of our lives. Thank you for reminding us that we did not slip and come this far in our lives, not because we walked well or we walked carefully, but rather because you protected us by not sleeping nor slumbering. Moreover, God has been our shade and blocked the sun of day and moon of night from harming us. So we could live as the children of God. In 2022, thank you for giving us the verse that lifted up my eyes to our church. The world always comes to us to tempt us with secular values which can be seen. So they lure us to pay attention to what can be seen and waste our lives on it. May we lift up our eyes towards God always. Also, when we look around us, everything is gloomy. Yet, thank you for allowing us to start year 2022 in hope. As we start this year, we make up our mind to lift up our eyes wherever we are and whenever, and look at our God and align our perspectives with yours. Even if our lives are tough, may we follow the word of God in 2022. As we lift up our eyes to you, please use us as the channel to renew families, workplaces, and our society. So may this year be truly a new year for all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.